إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajaratul Iman, yani the clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir Sa'adi, rahimahullah. Tonight what we're going to be doing is the follow-up, yani, from the first section of this book, the definition of Iman, the follow-up, meaning the author, rahimahullah, after mentioning the evidences and proofs from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, subhanallah. I don't have my study guide. From last week. No problem. So, the author, after mentioning the evidences and proofs dealing with the definition of Iman, he mentions here that which is related to the definition of Iman, as some of the scholars of the people of Sunnah said, after mentioning that Iman is yani speech and actions and conviction in the heart, some of them also mentioned that Iman increases and decreases. Yani it increases with obedience to Allah and decreases with disobedience to Allah. So here the author is mentioning this particular point. Yani he's taking out yani some time to emphasize the importance of the matter of the reality that Iman increases and decreases, and he mentions some evidences and some proofs and some arguments concerning that before we go to the next chapter, which is dealing with those essential elements of Iman, the things that enable one to increase and strengthen Iman and to avoid the decrease and weakening of Iman. So tonight, inshallah, we're just going to talk about this one topic, that is the increase and decrease of Iman. Before we do that, we're going to look at the study guide from last week. Study guide number 12 summarizes the author's explanation of the ayah, and whoever believes in Allah, he guides his heart. Yani from the 64th surah, 11th ayah. What did the author say is the explanation of this ayah? وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَحْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Yani whoever believes in Allah, meaning that he believes that if a calamity befalls him, that it's from Allah. He knows that it's from Allah, and he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise and is merciful in causing that to befall him, and Allah knows what's best for his servants. So because he knows that, and he's aware of that, and he's conscious of that, so he, yani, then for, therefore is pleased with what Allah has decreed for him. Yani, whatever the calamity might be, he's pleased with it, he surrenders to it, and he accepts it. Yani Allah guides his heart to be patient and to be submissive and accepting that which yani has befallen him. Question number 2. Verily, those who believe and do good deeds, their Rabb will guide them as a result of their Iman. Yani 10th surah, 9th ayah. What will they be guided to? What is it that those who believe and do good deeds, Allah will guide them. Yani the Rabb will guide them. Bi imanihim, due to their Iman. What is it that he will guide them to?
Patience, acceptance.
That is in reference to the previous ayah. Yani, that's more specific to that. Yeah.
To guide them to an increase in the iman, the actions that they do and the belief that they have will reinforce.
Okay, you will guide them to increase in iman, yani the actions that they do believe and the beliefs that they have will reinforce what they already have. Yani here the author mentioned a point which is of importance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ يَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى مَاذَا. He doesn't say to what. So the omission of the thing that he's going to guide them to indicates that what he's going to guide them to is yani general. يعني يفيد الأموم. So it's general. That means you guide them to every good and to avoid every evil. Question number 3. And Allah would never make your iman to be lost. This is from the second surah of Quran, 143rd ayat. Discuss the meaning of iman should be in this ayat. What is the meaning of iman in this ayat? مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعْ إِيمَانَكُمْ.
Their faith, their deeds.
Okay, in general, yes, it does mean their, yani their iman means their deeds, their good deeds. But specifically in this particular ayah, many of the scholars of tafsir from the people of Sunnah, the Shaykh says, many of the scholars of tafsir have indicated that the meaning of iman here, it means, yani imanakum salatakum ila bayt al-maqdis. Yani qabla naskh. Yani al-qibla. Yani before the abrogation of the praying towards Jerusalem. Yani before that was abrogated, the prayers that the people prayed towards Jerusalem, yani when the qibla was changed, some of the Muslims became concerned about the people who died before the change of the direction. What will happen to their prayers? Because now it's not permissible to pray towards Jerusalem. Prayer towards Jerusalem is invalid. So there was concern. Would their prayers become invalid? So Allah revealed this ayah. Allah will not cause their iman to be lost, meaning their prayers that were performed, yani, towards Jerusalem. When, at the time when it had been legislated to pray there, then Allah will not cause, yani, even though now it had been abrogated, will not cause their prayers there to be lost. And in general, of course, yes, it also means, yani, from this ayah, the Shaykh also mentions that, it's also general. It's not just for prayers, but every deed that is done with iman and out of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also iman. And also it would not be, Allah would not cause any of it to be lost. Question number 4. Explain how the author used this verse as a dalil, an evidence for naming al-amal as-salih, good deeds, yani for naming al-amal as-salih, iman. How did he use this ayah as a proof that good deeds in general are iman, not just the salat that was performed towards Bayt al-Maqdis before the abrogation of the Qibla, but amal as-salih, good deeds in general, yani also referred to as iman. And in the end of his discussion concerning what this ayah was revealed about, he says that their salat towards Bayt al-Maqdis, yani, was on their part iltizam. It was their adhering to obedience to Allah and His Messenger. So every adherence to obedience to Allah and His Messenger is also iman. And none of it will be lost. And every act, every good deed that is in accordance with what Allah has legislated, in obedience to Allah and His Messenger, based upon iman, then it is also, yani, iman. Question number 5. What is the bishara kubra? Yani the major glad tidings which the author has derived from this ayat, yani second surah 143rd ayat, that Allah will not cause your iman to be lost. What is the major, yani bishara kubra? Hmm. Now,
anyone who has the slightest amount of iman, it's not going to be lost.
It's not going to, even this, anyone who has the slightest amount of iman, it's not going to be lost. Meaning, that if Allah is not going to cause the iman of the believers to be lost, this is includes every iman. Every good deed that a person does, whether it's a small amount of iman or a great amount of iman, none of it would be lost. None of it would, yani, be unaccounted for, unrewardable, yani, compensated for. But every good deed that a person does that's iman, no matter how small it might be, then, yani, the person is going to be credited for that. And this is a major affair, right? Because it means that everything that a person does, believing in Allah and does it for the sake of Allah, believing that this is what Allah has legislated, no matter how insignificant anybody might think it be, it will not be, yani, it will not go unaccounted for, unrewarded. And that is, yani, bishara kubra. Now, complete the hadith which supports this point. Indeed, Allah will bring out of the fire whoever has in his heart what? Naam, even the least amount of the, yani the amount that's equal to the weight of a mustard seed of iman. The person who has that small amount of iman, Allah would bring them out of the fire. Because of that iman, even if it's a small amount. And this supports the idea that the author mentions, yani just before this, that is, that every amount of iman, whether great or small, it would not be lost. No iman would be lost. And here, yani he brings this hadith as a proof that if a person had the iman that's equal to the amount of a mustard seed, that would be the cause of him getting out of the fire eventually. Even if that person would be punished for some time, they would not remain eternally in the hellfire. And this is also a tremendous affair, a tremendous matter. Question number 7, mentioned in ayat, second surah 286, or a hadith which supports the idea of forgiveness of our unintentional mistakes. Yani,
anyone?
Yeah, anyone, it's okay, anyone. I mean, we've mentioned this ayat because the Shaykh mentioned this ayat, yani from surah Al-Baqarah. But yani, whatever, yani.
The Prophet mentioned the man who lost his rahila, that when he found that when the camel came back, he said, من شدة الفرح أنا أنت عبدي وأنا ربك.
نعم.
أخطأ من شدة الفرح.
نعم.
So happy he made a mistake.
نعم. So this, mashallah, this is also a tremendous hadith. The man who lost his riding animal, and when, yani with everything that he needed in order to survive on the desert, and when he gave up hope of life, suddenly Allah brought it back to him, and out of the severity, the extreme happiness that he experienced, he made a mistake. He said, yani, you are my abd, and I am your Rabb. And he said, oh Allah, you are my abd, and I am your Rabb. That's a big mistake.
Was that out of fear?
It was out of happiness. Out of happiness that his riding animal, with all of his belongings and his supplies and his food and everything, that's his, and he's going to be saved. He's not going to die. He was laid down to die in the desert. Right. So he was so happy, and just out of happiness, he slipped the tongue.
Oh.
Yani, but Allah forgave this.
Amen.
And Allah mentions in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا. O our Lord, do not call us to account. Yani, do not punish us if we forget or make a mistake. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that Allah said, I have done it. Yani mean, I have, yani I will not call you to account, I will forgive you.
Mm.
And the last question, will a person be rewarded for deeds they intended and made every effort to do, but were prevented by sickness, travel, etc.? Give a delil from the sunnah for your answer. Yani, would a person be rewarded for deeds that they intended to do, sincerely intended to do, and made every effort to do, but they were prevented from something like sickness or travel or whatever, will they still be rewarded for such a deed? And a delil from the sunnah for this point. And will they be rewarded, first of all?
Yes.
A person would be rewarded. If they have sincere intention to make every effort to do some good deed, but they are prevented by that which they have no control over, then they will be rewarded. Yani, their intention would definitely be rewarded. And the Shaykh, he mentions the hadith here of the person who, يعني إذا مرض العبد أو سافر كتب له مثل ما كان يعمله صحيحا مقيما. That the person, the human being, and he's a believer, the servant of Allah, if that person became sick or they traveled, due to which they were unable to do what they normally used to do of good deeds, كتب له, يعني it would still be recorded for him the deeds that he used to do when he was resident and when he was healthy. He would still get the rewards for those deeds. Now, so this is what we covered last week, or some of what we covered last week. But I'm going to return this to you if you need it. I don't know how I came out without that. That's maybe the first time I've ever done that. Shows when you start getting old, you forget everything. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-azim. Tonight, inshallah, our topic that we're going to talk about, we're going to be reading from the Arabic text on page 38, from the top of page 38 to the end of this section, which is a couple of pages. And in English, we're going to be reading from the bottom of page 39 to the end of the section, which ends on page 42. So the Shaykh, he begins with an argument. When I say an argument, I mean, yani, he's making he's making a statement, and this statement is a proof for the topic that we're going to talk about here. The topic is increase and decrease of iman. So before he brings the evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah and from the sources, he first argues the point, yani, by this statement: إذا ثبت بالدلالة بدلالة الكتاب والسنة معنى الإيمان. Yani, if the meaning of iman has been confirmed, has been established by evidences from the book and the Sunnah, if that has been confirmed, وَأَنَّهُ إِسْمٌ جَامِعٌ, and that, yani, iman, this word, is a comprehensive word. جَامِعٌ لِشَرِيعِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأُصُولَ الْإِيمَانِ وَحَقَائِقَ الْإِحْسَانِ وَتَوَابِعِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدِّينِ. If it has been established, and it has been in the last few weeks, we've been talking about it in detail, right? From the Quran and from the Sunnah, that the meaning of iman is that it is a comprehensive word which includes shara'i al-Islam, all of the laws and legislations of Islam, wa usul al-iman, and the fundamentals of iman, wa haqa'iq al-ihsan, yani the realities of ihsan. And from the realities of ihsan is what the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Jibril that we discussed previously, when he asked what is Islam and what is iman and what is ihsan. From the realities of ihsan, it is that a person worship Allah as though they are seeing Him. And a person worships Allah in the manner in which he would worship if he saw Allah in front of him. That's from the realities of ihsan. But if a person didn't reach that level, then from the realities of Islam, of ihsan, is that a person will worship Allah knowing that Allah is seeing him. Yani, if I couldn't reach that level of iman and of yaqeen, such that it's as though I see Allah in front of me, well, at least another level of ihsan is that I worship Allah knowing for a fact that Allah is seeing me. This is from the realities of ihsan. If you notice here, the author mentioned that iman is a comprehensive word that includes shara'i al-Islam, usul al-iman, wa haqa'iq al-ihsan, from the hadith of Jibril. Yani, the three aspects of Islam, of the deen of Allah: al-Islam, al-iman, and al-ihsan. He said that if it has been established that Islam includes all of these things, wa tawabi'a dhalik min umur al-deen, and the things that follow from the legislations of Islam and the usul of iman and the haqa'iq of ihsan, if iman is a word that includes all of this, bal huwa ismun lid-dini kulli, rather, in fact, iman is a word that includes the whole of the deen in its entirety. If that has been established, and it has been, then he said, ulima annahu yazidu wa yanqusu wa yaqwa wa yab'ufu. Then you would also, it would be known then, that iman, yazidu wa yanqusu, it increases and it decreases. Wa yaqwa wa yab'ufu, and it becomes weak, or it becomes strong, and it is also weakened. So the argument here the Shaykh is making, if it has been established by evidences from Quran and Sunnah that iman is this comprehensive word that includes the legislations of Islam and the usul of iman and the haqa'iq of ihsan and everything that follows from those, yani, that iman is a word that includes the whole every aspect of the deen, then it is also known from that iman increases and decreases, it strengthens and weakens. How is it known that iman increases and decreases based on this definition of iman? How is that a fact? Because all of these things may increase or decrease. The legislations in Islam, the salat, the zakat, the siyam, yani the usul of iman, believing in Allah and angels and whatever is required, and the ihsan, worshipping Allah as though you see Him, and if not, knowing that He sees you. A person's condition in reference to the fulfillment of these things, sometimes the person might do more, or they might do less. They might be stronger in iman or less in iman. In ihsan, in worshipping Allah, stronger or less. And different people will be different in reference to the fulfillment of these things, the aspects of Islam and iman and ihsan. People will be different from one person to another, and even one person from one time to another. They will be different. They may do more, they may do less. If they do more of it, what? The iman will increase. If they do less of it, what? The iman will decrease. So the fact that all of these things are part of Islam, are part of iman, are part of the deen of Allah, then this means then, to the extent that a person does more of these things or does them better, then the iman will be completed and perfected and strengthened and increased. And the opposite is also true. So this is the argument that the imam is making, rahimahullah. He's saying that if this has been confirmed, that iman includes all of this, then it becomes known then that iman has to then increase with the increase of these things and decrease with the decrease of these things. And the more that a person does these things, the iman will increase. And the less that they do them, then the iman will decrease. So that's the first argument that the imam makes. I think this is a tremendous introduction. And then after this, he brings some evidences and has detailed discussion concerning increase and decrease of iman and some of the ways to look at this issue to confirm, to be sure, to be certain that iman does increase and decrease. And here I want to just take one moment to say that from the importance of this mas'ala, this issue of increase and decrease of iman, is that if a person knows this, accepts it and believes it, a believer, and they care about their iman, they will be striving to increase and strengthen their iman, to complete and perfect their iman, if they know this. And if a person doesn't know it, then they may lackadaisically, be neglectful and not do much to strengthen their iman, and to increase their iman, and to perfect their iman, because this is not an issue, they don't know about it. They don't know that iman can be increased, that it can be strengthened, that it can be perfected. But when a person knows that, and they know the importance of iman, they will be working on this, the increase of iman. So the point I want to make here is that, every one of us, knowing this reality, must now every day, all the time, every moment, as much as possible, be striving to do the things that increase iman, that strengthen iman, that complete and perfect iman. This is not a mas'ala, it's not just an intellectual discussion. This is a reality of life that we have to pay attention to. Every one of us individually. And Muslims collectively. After this, the Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةُ لَا تَقْبَلُ الْإِشْتِبَاهَ بِوَجْهٍ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ لَا شَرْعًا وَلَا حِسًّا وَلَا وَاقِعًا. This issue, the reality that iman increases and decreases, that it can be strengthened and it can be weakened, this issue, there's no room in it for any doubt or any confusion from any angle that you look at it. Meaning that the issue is crystal clear, that iman increases and decreases. There's no room for confusion. There's no room for doubt. بِوَجْهِن مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ No matter what angle you may look at it from, whether you consider it شَرْعًا from the perspective of the Sharia, legislations, laws, proofs and evidences in the Sharia, it becomes crystal clear, there's no room for doubt, that iman increases and decreases. Or you look at it from the perspective of hassan, meaning from the perspective of what a person feels in their self, from their sensual perception, what they experience in their self, there's no room for doubt that iman increases and decreases. A brother sent me an email 2 weeks ago, and he said, I'm in trouble. Just 2 weeks ago, I was doing good. I was going to the masjid. I was praying the prayers one time. I was doing a lot of good deeds, and I was feeling strong. And now suddenly, I'm not going to the masjid. I'm feeling weak. My iman is going down. I said, this is what we believe. As Ahl al-Sunnah, we believe that iman increases and decreases. And there are bad causes of it, and you have to attend to that. You have to attend to that. A person experiences this. Every individual experiences this. Increase and decrease of iman. Nobody can say, I always feel my iman. You have to sometimes know that my iman is going down. I feel some weakness. I'm not feeling good about this situation. That's the reality that we experience sensually. Our sensual perceptions, we experience this in reality ourselves. He said, وَلَا وَاقِيًا. And there's no room for doubt about the reality of increase and decrease of iman in terms of what we, the reality that of the people, the reality of people also proves this point, meaning that people from one person to another, we see that one person's iman is stronger than another person's iman. or that an individual person from time to time we experience that the iman, yani we see them down and out and slipping away and not coming into the masjid and not praying in jama'ah and not yani doing what we know they used to do. They used to always open the Quran, they used to always be engaged in dhikr and whatever. So also from what we see in the people around us, this is also yani a proof of the clarity and that there's no room for any doubt or confusion about this issue that iman increases and decreases. Then the Shaykh, he says yani that there's no room for any confusion whether we look at it from the perspective of the Sharia or what we feel and experience ourselves or what we see in the society around us, in the people. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ النُّصُوصَ الْكِتَابِ yani the fact that this issue is not open for confusion or doubt, yani it's crystal clear. And that is because the nusus, the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, are sariha, are crystal clear concerning ziyadatihi wa nuqsanihi. Yani the increase of iman and decrease of iman is crystal clear in the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. Here the Shaykh mentions some ayahs from the Quran, we'll just go through them quickly. And there are many, and we've discussed some of these ayahs in the first, I think, session that we had concerning this book, when we talked about the general introduction to the definition of iman before we started reading from the book. So the Shaykh says, for example, from the text of the Quran, مثل قوله تعالى, the saying of Allah the Most High, لِيَزْدَادُ إِمَانًا مَا إِمَانِهِمْ, so that they may be increased. لِيَزْدَادُ إِمَانًا, so the iman will be increased, مَا إِمَانِهِمْ, in addition to the iman that they already had. So then more iman, yani they were increased in iman, and this is in reference to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the one who sent down a saqina upon the hearts of the believers, yani so that they would have an increase in iman along with the iman. This is in Surah Al-Fath, 48th surah, 4th ayah. Then he mentions, وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمَانًا, from Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th surah, 31st ayah, so that those who believe will be increased in iman. يعني الذين آمنوا, they already believed, ويزداد, and they will be increased in إيمان. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd surah, 173rd ayah, والذين قال لهم الناس, يعني those who the people said to them. Some of the scholars of tafsir said mean the munafiqun. The munafiqun said to the believers, إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فخشوهم, يعني indeed the people, يعني the nations, the groups, the tribes, they have gathered together against you, so fear them. Allah says, فَزَادَهُمُ الْإِيمَانَ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنُ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. But instead of them fearing the people who gathered against them, زَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, this only increased them in iman. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنُ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and they said, Allah is sufficient for us, and Allah is the best one to dispose of our affairs, the best one to be in charge of our matter. Allah is sufficient for us. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. But they were increased in iman by that, not decreased in iman. They didn't fall off and become afraid and lay down. They were increased in iman, and they said, Allah is sufficient for us, and He's the best one to dispose of our fear. And then the Shaykh mentions finally, and there are lots of ayahs like this, Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 124th ayah, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِهِ إِمَانًا. And whenever a surah is revealed, Allah sends down a surah, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ, from amongst the people are those, and some of the scholars again here said the hypocrites. Some of the hypocrites, they used to say to the believers, أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا, which one of you has been increased in iman from this revelation that came down? Which one of you has been increased in iman? Increased in iman. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. So as for those who believed, amanu, then this increased them iman, zadatum, fazadatum imanan, whom yastabshirun, and they were rejoicing, yani from what Allah had revealed, yani of the Quran. Ughayriha min al ayat, and there are also many other ayat in the Quran proving this point. Here I want to just stop and like take a little bit of commentary from our Sheikh Abdul Razak, son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Arabad. Al-Badr, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He has a lot of commentary on this point. I'm going to read some of it, yani, because of the benefit of what he mentions here, yani, which is the core of this chapter that we are looking at tonight, or this section that we're looking at tonight. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, if it has been confirmed, yani from what the Shaykh, the author of the book said, if it has been confirmed, yani from the evidence of the Quran and Sunnah, that the meaning of Iman is a comprehensive yani word that includes the legislations of Islam and the fundamentals of Iman and the realities of Ihsan and whatever follows that, he said that this statement, in reference to this statement, the Shaykh says, when the author of the book, when he finished from presenting these evidences of this, yani proofs and evidences of the comprehensiveness of the word Iman, when he completed this chapter with the mention of these evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, all indicating that Iman is speech, and that Iman is action, and that Iman is convictions, and that Iman, just as it includes what's in the heart of i'tiqad, conviction, then it also includes that which is on the limbs of actions, and also what is on the tongue of speech. He said, after bringing these evidences and proving that all of this is a part of what is called Iman, after mentioning these evidences and making clear that Iman includes all of this, he said, in that, in those proofs and evidences that show that Iman is comprehensive, in that is another indication, dilala ukhra. There's also another indication here. Yani these evidences and proofs not only prove that Iman is comprehensive, that it includes the whole of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he said, fihi dilalatun ukhra, wa hiya anna al-iman yazidu wa yanqus wa yaqwa wa yad'uf. Yani in these evidences, and the fact that Iman is comprehensive, including all of these things, is another indication, that is an indication that Iman increases and it decreases, that it can be strengthened and it can be weakened. So not only is Iman comprehensive, including every aspect of the deen, but another reality of Iman is that it does increase, and it can decrease, and it can be strengthened, and it can be weakened. And also, وَأَنَّ أَهْلَهُ لَيْسَ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ, and that the people of Iman, the mu'mineen, they are not equal in Iman. In this is also an indication that the people of Iman are not the same, that everybody is not on one level. And that is because these affairs that are a part of Iman, and these actions that are a part of Iman, the people of Iman, in reference to their fulfillment of these things, are not on one level. They are not equal. بَلْ مُتَفَاوِتُونَ. Rather, they are on various levels, some of them excelling others, some of them being superior to others. They are not the same. The people of Iman. So these are two points that some of the scholars of Sunnah said, that Iman is not only speech and action and i'tiqad, but it also increases and decreases. And also some of them said that the people of Iman are not equal in Iman. People are not the same. They are not all on the same level. So in accordance with any person, the amount of the matters of Iman and the actions of Iman that they act upon and implement and realize, to that extent the Iman will be increased. Yani the more that a person implements the affairs of Iman, the more the Iman will increase, and the more that they fall short in these aspects of Iman, the more their Iman will be decreased in accordance with that. He said, the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, says that this reality of increase of Iman and decrease of Iman is an issue that doesn't allow for any confusion or any doubt. And it's not open for discussion. It is a fact. It is crystal clear from the evidences. Yani, it's crystal clear in the deen of Allah from the evidences and proofs that are many in the book and in the sunnah. And at the same time, the Shaykh now, Shaykh Abdul Razak, is saying at the same time, and we're going to be reading from the author, yani the point that he's referring to here. He said, not only are the proofs and evidences in the Quran and the sunnah, but at the same time, al-has wal-waqiyah. Yani what a person experiences in themselves and what they see in the society around them is also a proof that Iman increases and decreases. That's also a proof if we consider this aspect as well. Meaning, al-has, he said, it means what every person or what every believer experiences within their self. Yani, in their own self, the experience of Iman increases and increasing and decreasing. He said, for example, a person might be sitting in the majlis of dhikr, and ilm and da'wah ila Allah and understanding of the deen. And it's circles of knowledge and remembrance of Allah. A person might be sitting in a gathering of knowledge, a gathering of remembrance of Allah, of calling to Allah and learning the deen and remembering the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. And that person will feel in their self an increase in iman. On the other hand, a person is sitting in a gathering of lahu and ghafla. Yani the gathering where the people are engaged in foolishness, nonsense. Yani that which is of no benefit. And they will find that they will feel within their self that decrease in iman. That's when a person begins to feel something's going wrong. I'm not feeling good. And they feel it and they know it. So the gatherings of the remembrance of Allah and taqwa, a person's iman is increased by this. And the gatherings of vanity and foolishness and the things that are of no benefit, iman is decreased by this. So what a person feels within themselves is an indication that iman increases and decreases, and as well the waqi', the condition that we see in the people, individuals and society as a whole around us, also points to the fact that that the people concerning iman, the people are not all on one level. That some of them are superior to others, some of them excel over others. That there is a tremendous difference and a variance between the people in terms of the iman of the people that we see around us, and that they are not on, they are not all together in the same condition or circumstance. Okay, here the Shaykh, he goes on to, and he mentioned the evidences. He says that after this discussion, the author brings some evidences from the Quran that are crystal clear, showing increase of iman. We read those ayats already. And these ayats clearly point to the increase of iman. And then he mentions, like for example, some of the ayats that we already mentioned. Okay, he mentions those ayats, and then he said that these ayats are crystal clear, proving the fact that iman increases. And the clearness of their indication of the increase of iman, tufidu aydan anna al-iman yanqus. Yani the clarity with which these ayat point to the increase of iman also gives us another benefit. And that is that iman decreases. How so? That is because everything that has the possibility of increase has the possibility of decreasing. And for this reason, when Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, was asked, it was said to him, does iman increase and decrease? He said, haven't you read the saying of Allah? فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا Yani Allah increased them in iman. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى And we increased them in guidance. They said, does it decrease? We hear you saying the increase, but they said, does it decrease? He said, مَا مَنْ شَيْءٍ يَزِيدُ إِلَّا وَيَنْقُصْ There's nothing that increases except that it also has the potential to decrease. And these ayats are crystal clear and proven that iman increases, and everything that increases also has the potential to decrease. Then the Shaykh says, and from the Sunnah, and the author in the book, he didn't mention any hadith here in this particular place of proofs from the Sunnah, but throughout the book he mentioned lots of ayats that could be used as proofs here. So the Shaykh Abdul Razak says, from the Sunnah, proofs that iman increase and decrease, he said, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. That the strong believer, the person who is strong in their iman, is better and more beloved to Allah than the believer that is weak in their iman, even though in each of them there is good. And how is this a proof? Because there's a person who has strong iman and the person who has weak iman. That means the levels of iman are not the same. A person's iman can get stronger and a person's iman can get weaker. Then he said in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَدْعَفُ iman. يعني وَذَلِكَ أَدْعَفُ iman. يعني the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, what? That, مَنْ رَعَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا Whoever sees from you something evil, then he must stop it with his hand. If he's not able, then speak out against it. If he's not able, then hate it in the heart. وَذَلِكَ أَدْعَفُ iman. And that hating it in the heart, not stopping it, not speaking out against it, That's the weakest of iman. That means that there's levels of iman. There's stronger iman and there's weaker iman. And that is the weakest of iman. Then he mentioned, concerning the women, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِن نَاقِصَاتْ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ. And this is a lengthy hadith and it has a long explanation. We just want to mention the point that is يعني, pertinent to what we're talking about right now. مَا رَأَيْتُ مِن نَاقِصَاتْ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ. يعني, that I didn't see from those who have some defect in their aql and in their deen. And here the shahid is what? يعني, the naqs in deen. That there are people who have naqs in their deen. This is in reference to the woman. No, yani, to no fault of hers. Has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a condition in which there are times in which she's not able to pray. And that's a naqs in deen. Because prayer is part of deen. It's an iman. So if a person is not praying, even though they are not blamed for it, there's no punishment for them. Rather, if they did pray in that condition, they would be punished. Because it would be sinful. There's no blame. But the point is that the Prophet ﷺ used the word naqs. Naqisat. Aqlin wa deenin. That means that there's some kind of defect in the deen, in the person's iman, as Imam Nawawi said. That deen here means iman. Because of what? Because of the decrease in prayers. Because of the decrease in fasting at the time when a woman has menses. So this is a proof of what? Of decrease of iman. Of defect in iman. Due to some aspects of iman like salat and siyam and so on. The Shaykh says, فَالشَّاهِدْ أَنَّ الْأَدِلَّ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ جَاءَتْ صَرِيحَةً بِزِيَادَةِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالنَّقْصَانِ. يعني, that the evidences in the book and the sunnah came clearly indicating increase and decrease of iman. And if it is known that iman increases and decreases, if that fact has been established, that iman does increase and decrease, then also know that لِزِيَادَتِهِ أَسْبَابٌ وَلِنَقْصِهِ أَسْبَابٌ. Yani that the increase of iman has asbab. There are causes or reasons for increase in iman and also the defect of iman, decrease in iman, also has causes or reason. He said here that the Shaykh rahimahullah has made a chapter that is from the most beneficial yani that we can find clarifying this particular issue, and we're going to be taking that chapter inshallah next week, where the Shaykh talks about the essential components of iman and what are the things that strengthen iman, increase iman, complete and perfect iman, and this is of the utmost importance. And here I would like to note that the Shaykh Abdul Razak also has written a book himself that clarifies this issue, mashallah. He has taken it to another level. That book is called what? The Asbab Ziyadat al-Iman wa Nuqsani, something like this. Yani the causes for increase and decrease of a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous book. And inshallah, if somebody reminds me, I think I have a PDF for it. In Arabic and in English, both. I think I have a PDF for both of them, inshallah. Tremendous book. Here, before we go on to read from the book, and let me just try to pay attention to the time. Now I have some time with me tonight. I see that I'm really, really running short. I want to mention one more hadith, Allahu musta'an. And in any case, yani, we're not on the racetrack, so we don't have to beat anybody to the destination. There's another hadith that some of the scholars mentioned, and I thought that it's timely yani, that we should mention this hadith. It's a hadith reported by Imam Muslim, and it's in other collections of hadith as well. The hadith of Hanbala, Al-Usayyidi, radiallahu anhu. It is said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, it's hadith number 2126, and in the following hadith is another narration of it also. He said, لَقِيَنِي أَبُو بَكْرٍ رضي الله عنه. That Abu Bakr met me one day, and he said, كيف أنت يا حنزلة? How are you, O حنزلة? He said, I said, نافق حنزلة. This narration brings some point that the next narration doesn't bring, and the other one brings some point that this one doesn't bring, but this is the point that I really wanted to come to here. نافق حنزلة. And he said, how are you? Abu Bakr said to حنزلة, how are you? He said, حنزلة has become a hypocrite. Of course, he didn't mean hypocrite in iman, that he does, that he's showing iman and he's really a kafir. No, he doesn't mean that. I mean his condition, and his physical condition, his actions, whatever, and he's feeling something wrong. And then he explains what he says. قَالَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ مَا تَقُولُ يعني Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه said to him, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ يعني what are you saying? Hamza has become a hypocrite. That's like tremendous. Like what kind of saying is that? قَالَ قُلْتُ نَكُونُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُذَكِّرُنَا بِالنَّارِ وَالْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى كَأَنَّ رَأْيُ الْعَيْنِ He said, what I mean is that I'm feeling like a hypocrite because when we are with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and he is reminding us of the hellfire and the paradise, yani our condition is such that it's as though we see the fire and the hell and the paradise. Yani our condition is like we see the paradise in front of us. What kind of condition is that? Huh? He said, it's as though we are seeing it. وَإِذَا خَرَجْنَا مِنْ عِنْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَسْنَا الْأَزْوَاجِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَالضَّيَعَاتِ وَنَسِينَا كَثِيرًا But when we leave from the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we go back home to our wives and our children and our business affairs, and we forgot a lot. Here, this statement that he mentions here is clarified in the narration that follows us. He said that when we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's reminding us about the hellfire, and then ثُمَّ جِئْتُ إِلَى الْبَيْتِ فَضَاحَقْتُ الصِّبْيَانَ وَلَعَبْتُ الْمَرْأَةَ He said, so when we return to the house, then I am playing and I am laughing with my children, with the children, and with the wife. Yani in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, he's reminding us of paradise and hellfire, and it's as though we see it in front of us. What kind of condition are we in at that moment? And then we go home and then we're playing with our children, laughing and joking with our family, and engaging in business, our business affairs, taking care of our livelihood. Naturally, at that point, we're not in the same condition like that. That's what Alhamdulillah is talking about. Yani I feel like I'm a hypocrite. When I'm with the Prophet, I'm one way. When I'm with my family, I'm just a regular guy. Just a person playing with his wife and children. Taking care of business.